and we're back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, the Lakers Fast Break, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can also like, share, subscribe, follow everyone involved, including LakerHolics.com, the Run the Floor podcast, and the Lakers Fast Break, along with my shows, The Pop Culture Cosmos and Inside Sports Fantasy Football. It is truly appreciated. Well, kind of disappointing. I know a lot of people were looking forward to a coronation today, a culmination of a great year, great 12 months for the Los Angeles Lakers, but it wasn't meant to be. And I'll say it to you like this. As I was recording a show with Rafael Barlow for his great NBA Draft Junkies experience, I noticed on Twitter we got a comment from Carlos Ortega. Thank you, by the way, for listening to the show. But when the subject on our last episode came about as far as Danny Green, Laker Tom had him traded all over the place. And we proceeded to go ahead and pile on Danny Green as far as his ineffectiveness so far the entire season, pretty much, as far as being that caliber player that we're paying $15 million a year, roughly, for his 2-year contract. Well, he had an opportunity in the fourth quarter to go ahead and make up for all the stuff that Lakers have been talking about, Laker fans everywhere. He had a chance to go ahead and be in the clutch, get that done, and get everything going as far as all those people out of the way, all those naysayers, all those people that are talking so much trash on Danny Green himself. He did make one semi-clutch 3-pointer in the fourth quarter and did a great job in doing so. But when it came ultimately down to it and LeBron gave him the pass for the win, ultimately it didn't come close. And to compound that, Markieff Morris made an errant throw that was nowhere near Anthony Davis. And it was those kind of plays down the stretch that cost the Lakers the game. And give all the credit to the Heat, because he played masterful defense at times, plus they executed in their half-court offense better than Los Angeles Lakers, and they deserve the win. 111 to 108 over the Los Angeles Lakers, putting the NBA Finals right now at 3-2. Still right in the range of what most of us said, because we did say it was going to end in 6. But we'll go ahead with Mr. Positivity first, the guy who led us all down the overconfidence path. He is the mastermind of LakerHolics.com. You got to be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. He is still my good friend, although I'm kind of angry he made us go ahead and start typing up articles on what it was meant to be after a great victory, championship, blah, blah, blah. He got us all into that celebration a little too early, but he's still my friend. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, I will say this. Carlos Ortega did say at the very end, hashtag go Tom.
Well, that was interesting. I think that's just because I happened to qualify my Danny Green trade thing by saying it was really because of his contract, that $15 million is kind of essential to match up with any other player. But Gerald, thank you for giving me the first opportunity. I think this is the first time I've ever been first. Usually, you lead me to the very end.
Well, I think usually for the special slot, but you know what?
And then Raphael and Jamie and Sean all pick up the low-hanging fruit, and I'm left trying to figure out what to say.
Oh, and you say it, though, 10 minutes later. You say it. That's right there. But go ahead, my friend. You got it.
I'm just kidding. No, listen, kudos to the Heat. I thought we could have won that game very easily, obviously, and we'll just have to come back Sunday and see if we can take care of them. It was a strange game. You know, I took a brief look at the stats for the game. Each team made 38 baskets. Each team made 14 three-point shots. Each team shot beautifully from the free throw line. The Lakers were 18 of 21, I think, and the Heat were 21 of 22. They made 3 more free throws, and that was the difference in the game.
Which I told you. I told you the free throws would be an issue at some point in time.
Listen, I can't complain about how the Lakers did the free throws. I can't complain about the refereeing. I think that I think what won the game really was the miracle shots that the Heat kept making at the right at the buzzer, you know, before the 24 second clock went off. I also am just totally pissed at Frank Vogel for wasting all of those minutes with Dwight Howard in there, who played absolutely terribly. That was just really wasted time. It doesn't show up in the plus minus. I mean, if you want to go down and look at it, I think Danny Green ended up with the best plus minus on the team.
That he did.
I'm not one of the detractors that hates plus minus, because I do think it does measure all of those little things, screens and tips and hockey passes and all of those things that really count, good defensive plays that don't show up in the stats normally. But man, I wish that they had drawn that play up for Kenny to be the guy setting that screen. He's the guy that I would have trusted making that shot, not Danny Green. But at any rate, on to Sunday, and congratulations to the Lakers in six crowd. Hopefully we don't have to reach out for the Lakers in seven crowd.
That would be Raphael.
Yes, that would be Raphael. At any rate, really was heartbreaking about this for me was LeBron James had locked up the MVP of the finals with that 40-point performance and you know, 15 out of 20 or whatever
And that's the thing. Do you really want to play LeBron James in a game seven now?
Well, we won't get to that, Sean. It's going to be in game six on Sunday. But, you know, hey, hats off to the Heat. They played better than I expected. I think they played better than most of the prognosticators expected. We'll see if they played better than the rest of the Lakerholics podcast team, the Lakers Fast Break podcast team, thinks when we get to the game on Sunday. But the ones that got away.
That got away, indeed.
Also, at least we didn't have, you know, balloons in the rafters that didn't get to get released and champagne in the dressing room that we didn't get to pop open. I was kind of wondering whether you had something special planned for the parade, Gerald, and, you know, what we were going to do. But now you've got till Sunday to figure that all out, and we should have something. We need to have our party hats ready and things of that nature. So, you know, maybe it's a blessing that we just weren't ready. We weren't ready really to celebrate, you know?
Stop that overconfidence. Stop it.
Are you really worried? Like Sean said, you want to go up against LeBron in a game seven? You know, what might have cost us the game was Anthony Davis getting hurt for that period of time.
And that's what I mean.
They only played 42 minutes. Jimmy played 47. And they only played seven guys.
And that's what I mean.
He played more minutes than LeBron.
Yeah.
He played more minutes than LeBron. Basically the same, but yeah.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was very concerning. And for Sunday, it is going to be very concerning because there was an injury, a re-injury of the heel contusion that he suffered during the course of the playoffs, and that would be Anthony Davis.
And yeah, he switched out a lot in the second half. You know, he didn't fight through those screens the way that he did in the first half and the way that he did in game four. So that made a difference. And he wasn't the tiger on the boards that he was, you know, in those games.
Absolutely.
But we'll see, you know.
Absolutely.
We'll be ready.
Hopefully we will be ready for Sunday. And here today to talk about the game as well, including our hopes for AD's health coming forward, is one of the blog editors for Lakerholics.com. You've got to be part of the conversation and check out what he writes up there for Lakerholics.com. He is the madman from Toronto, our historian. It is Magic Man, a.k.a. Sean Grice. And Sean, on the level of concern, especially coming off a tough loss like this, great game, though. I guess I would just say it's a great game basketball-wise if you're a purist. But I'm a Lakers purist, so I think the game sucked. But be that as it may, it was still a great game to watch for a basketball purist. But you've got to be concerned going into Sunday with the health and status of AD.
Yeah, Gerald, on a level of concern, I got to be honest, I try and be realist, but with this aggravation, I'm at about a six. I think it's
I'm about an eight myself.
Yeah, you're about an eight. I think Judy's the best in the game, and I think she'll have him ready to go for Sunday. I think he just needs a lot more treatment, just a lot more treatment with that injury.
Well, I hope that's the case. But before I go ahead and head it over to Rafael, I wanted to ask you this. What do you think was the key stat that jumps out at you when it comes to what you saw from today's box score?
Yeah, you know what? It's ironic what Tom said there. A lot of it was even, Steven. Hard to differentiate there. If I had to pick out one thing, I'd have to agree with Tom. It was Dwight's ineffectiveness while he was out there. He was not the same attacking Dwight that we've seen. And, you know, when he's passive and he's not either assertive or trying to feel the game out, he has no range for us. I mean, it's difficult to play with a space eater like that when it's not effective.
That's true. But hopefully there'll be another change involved coming up for Game 6. And also here today is my good friend, a guy whose show I will be appearing on in the not-too-distant future. You got to check out what he's doing today at NBA Draft Junkies. It is the premier place to go for everything NBA Draft. It is NBA Draft Junkies, along with his great podcast, NBA Draft Junkies, and the Run the Floor podcast. It is my good friend and also fellow host on my NBA, on our NBA podcast coverage throughout the playoffs. It is Rafael Barlow. And Rafael, I want to hear your assessment. You always give such a great analysis straight down the middle, because as a Blazers fan, definitely it's the best way to look at it, because you're an outsider looking in. What stuck out to you to most in tonight's game?
Well, for me personally, I'm not stressed after this game. So that's the good thing about being a Blazers fan. It's been over for me for a little over a month now. So that's a good place to be in.
There you go.
I think that, the game could have went either way. Jimmy Butler ended up being the best player down the stretch. He made all the key free throws. Miami, their supporting players play well. And I think this was a demoralizing loss for the Lakers. I mean, I think mentally they had it won. Mentally they were probably preparing to go home. Did you see the video on SportsCenter of them before the game playing like football?
Yeah.
No.
And it was like, I mean, LeBron was the quarterback and going football passes. And yeah, I mean, they looked like to be honest with you, they were like a lot of the fans. They thought Miami was going to not necessarily lay down, but they just thought that, you know, this was the today that they were going to win the championship. And you're flirting with danger, especially with AD being so brittle. I mean, it's like every single game you think like, oh my gosh, is this it? Is this the big one? And 3 minutes later, he's fine. Like, I honestly thought like, oh my gosh, he just tore his Achilles.
That's what I thought.
It was a non-contact injury. He's on his back.
But it was a contact injury, because he did kick his Duncan Robinson's kneecap.
Yeah, I mean, at first it didn't seem like it was but it was until like what. After yeah, that we saw it. But then again, it's like, man, how either you have to be like really, really have a low tolerance of pain, because there's no way that looked like it should have hurt the way, you know, he was hurt. But then again, he's done it almost every game, bounces back, and then he looks fine. I thought he still played well coming back. He had more rebounds than he did in some of the other games in the series. So I thought that he definitely toughed it out and played well, but now the key is, how is it going to be on Sunday?
Absolutely, and I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. How is it going to be on Sunday? But we'll see. And also here today to talk about what's going on. 15 minutes in is a good man indeed. He is the man behind so many great articles of five, in this case, not so great things that are coming up in the not too distant future that you will see at Lakerholics.com. It is Jamie Sweet. And Jamie, we had talked back and forth with Laker Tom on the Lakers bench. about how it is so much better or how the Heat's bench is so much better and this and that. Well, today, the Heat's bench was substantially better. Kendrick Nunn played sensational. And the Lakers, you can see it right there with Kyle Kuzma minus 17 and Rajon Rondo minus 13. They didn't get it done today.
Thanks, Joel. I totally agree. I was
Laker Tom doesn't. He's already shaking his head no.
Well, I mean,
they had exactly the same number of points, just like the field goals, and just like
but the argument you're making is that one man, Kendrick Nunn, scored 14 points, and four right. dudes on the Lakers scored 14 points. So yeah. four guys yeah. have to outplay one 14. Guy. No,
14 against 14.
No, it's four guys playing to the same level as one guy. And
how many shots did Kendrick Nunn take? How many shots did those four players take? There you go.
To get the same well, the big difference was they were 1 for 11 from three. Our bench was.
And Kendrick Nunn was 6 for 11 all by himself, 2 for 4 for 3. The point is, it's not. The Heat bench has always had more firepower. And if Dragic comes back, that's only going to be more true. And the Laker bench has to play them to even, which they did. But then when you get nothing from Danny Green. Danny Green and KCP have to show up to some degree. He did pretty good. He didn't have a great KCP game. He had a good KCP game. Shot a lot to get his points. Had 15 shots, 16 points, 3 for 8 from three. You know, a good KCP game, not great. And you can't, you know, Anthony Davis's aggressiveness was certainly affected by the soccer injuries. Yeah. Well, the soccer injuries. I think Raphael has a good point. You know, he does have a little bit of soccer in him, where you know you kind of somebody explodes to the floor, and a few minutes later they're running back to knock a goal in. So there's a little bit of that, I think, in this game. But
are you saying give him a yellow card?
No, I kind of wish there was something like that in the NBA. The anti-flopping fine rule, I think, is supposed to be kind of like that, but it's just so rarely enforced.
Well, KCP would be getting one.
You would be getting one for that. that was laughable. Yeah, I mean, the Lakers they played tough, but they just didn't have the right. All game long, it felt like a problem. All game long, it felt like it was harder than they wanted it to be, harder than they expected it to be, too hard. And it's the NBA Finals. I don't care who's on the other team. Like, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. It's not a coronation. It's a competition. And to treat it otherwise is kind of disrespectful in a lot of ways. You don't crown king till the coronation has happened. You don't do things till they happen. Or I try not to. So I called it in six. Now I'm just hopeful that it stays six. If we go to a game seven, this is going to be a big problem for the Lakers, because the Heat have younger guys that are better than our younger guys. They got Duncan Robinson. Looks like he can run another 48 games.
Shaking his head again.
He can. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's one of the great things about opinions. We all got one.
# go Tom.
And same as in the Boston series. Boston was the more talented team over Miami. Miami was tougher. The Lakers are by far the more talented team. For two games, Miami has been tougher. So it's going to come down to willpower more than talent. And that's a more even competition, I think, than a lot of people want to admit.
I agree with you on that.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I see the potential for basically like another Netflix kind of paradigm shift, where here comes this other major player. They have a ton of resources. Apple could change the way that entertainment is consumed.
They say it's the only time this year that you'll have stars from each brand battling each other. And we know it's not going to be the case, but they like to say that, and more power to them, I guess.
Well, it's a big first step, bringing all those superheroes together. There were definitely some parts of the movie that I really enjoyed. And then there were some parts that I thought just kind of fell short of expectation.
Part of it has to be something to do with how it's being promoted. And this is a thing where audiences do not agree with critics.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse, every week on Apple Podcasts.
And over a dozen of your favorite streaming and podcasting options. Once again, it's a Game 5 wrap-up. Unfortunately, the Lakers did not get it done. We head to Sunday. I know, Sean, you want to say something about what went on in the series, especially is today's game. Go ahead, my friend. It's 3-2. Lakers still up, but I'm getting kind of nervous. Like I said, I'm an 8 on the nervous scale right now.
I'm an 8 with you, Gerald. I'm an 8 with you.
Yeah, I'm more at a 6 right now. It's not DEFCON 1 yet. It's DEFCON 3.
I don't know what that. He's at 3. He's at a 3 level for nervousness.
Yeah.
And Raphael's anyway. Just like, what's going on with the Blazers? There you go.
Right. he's at a -2.
Gerald, I just want to say, when I love Alex Caruso in the pick and roll action, especially with him and LeBron, especially when he's got the ball.
Very effective today.
Yeah, but he just kills me when he's running into the lane. He doesn't think about, you know, putting up a little runner or a floater.
Gets a lot of charges.
Yeah, if he
gets a lot of charges.
Little wrinkle to his game.
Floater. It's there. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like what Raphael was saying. Like, if he was a good pick and roll guard and he also had that little runner floater, you could see some value in him. You could ascribe some value to game.
You got 2/3 of it down when it comes to Caruso on the pick and roll. You just got to get that 1/3 taken care of, and that comes with time and experience. And unfortunately, the Lakers don't have that time and experience right now. They need it. I mean, he could just go ahead. You could see on those charges that he just goes ahead and just stops for an 8-footer. Yep. He's got it every single time.
But Ron, even for a pull-up jump shot in the lane, but
yeah.
He tries to take it to the hole every time.
Absolutely, and that's part of the problem. You see that a lot.
I'm a huge Caruso fan. I love Caruso, but yeah. No,
so do I, but that just kills me.
About no, it's maddening.
It's such an underrated shot, that little either floater, because a floater, you're still off balance. You're still primed to possibly getting an offensive foul, but if you just stop, shoot an 8-foot jumper right there in the lane, right before right past the free throw line, you could get that every time, and they'll let you lay off the hook, and that's still a high percentage shot.
And he could average like 8 to 10 points off the bench, roughly. You know, maybe six to eight. Let's not give him too much credit.
Maybe four to six.
There you go.
But he's good for one. He's good for a three pointer every 4 games. Come on.
But Raphael,
my background as a trainer, guys that are usually really athletic like that never have to work on that shot because they want to dunk. And so Caruso has always been athletic, and so he's never really had to work on that. He probably never has worked on that in-between shot. Where you look at Tyler Hero, who's only 20, who's not nearly as athletic, but he already has that shot in his arsenal.
Right.
He's got a lot of shots in his arsenal.
Yep.
he's got a lot of shots.
Yeah, but Raphael is right. He's already added that ring game. Like, he's smart enough to know when he gets in there. He's fast enough. He's quick enough. He can get the shot off.
He might have had the best floater of the year in game three when he lofted that 400-foot shot over Anthony Davis that just kept going up into the sky. You're like, what?
The moon shot.
Oh my!
We discussed a lot of the issues with the Lakers. Raphael, I want you to go ahead real quick, if you can, provide us some insight on Jimmy Butler and what makes him so effective, and how is he just basically slicing up the Lakers each and every time out.
On one hand, I feel he is. Obviously, the stat sheet says he is, but I also feel like there's so many possessions where he picks up his dribble when they deny the dribble handoff, and he gets stuck. And I don't know why the Lakers aren't really blitzing that once he picks up his dribble. But he likes the mid-range shot. I know Daryl Morey is probably rethinking his strategy about why he is so anti-mid-range, because that shot was there tonight, and even Kendrick Nunn was hitting a few of those mid-range pull-ups. And Butler's just, he's able to get to his spots. And even with Anthony Davis guarding him, he still had a pretty good game. You just have to be, I guess you just can't really attack AD like that. You just have to be patient and somehow be aggressive and pick your spots, but at the same time, not be too aggressive. It's a weird combination that he was able to master tonight. But I think Miami, you know, they have to feel confident. They have to feel confident. It's doubtful that they'll get that type of performance from Duncan Robinson again. But Bam didn't have a good game. I think he only had like 13 points and 4 rebounds. I mean, he missed the dunk. That could have been easy.
He missed several easy bunnies.
Yeah. And so, but Butler looks, he looks exhausted, like in the fourth quarter, even though like he picked it up today, he had some baskets in the fourth. I think that was pure adrenaline, knowing that if you don't make those shots, you're going home. But early in the fourth quarter, he looked like he didn't have any legs.
Could that be an issue for them going forward, because they're going to have to go back, like 2 days from now, we're going to be back on and we're going to have a game again. And this could be an issue if they're going to go ahead and play him another 40, 45 plus minutes.
Yeah, I mean, they have to. Funny story. I was talking to, I forgot who it was. It was an NBA player, and he was talking about LeBron last year. He says, "Man, last year was the first time I heard LeBron breathing heavy in the game." So he says that he's never tired. He's always, you know, he just always seems like he's in good shape. And then Jimmy was exhausted, and I know he, you know, LeBron played like maybe 6 minutes less, 5 or 6 minutes less. But LeBron looks like he could have still played another game if they would have had a doubleheader. I just don't know if Jimmy would be able to play another 46, 47 minutes, score 40 points for two more games.
Because it seems to have one game where he's really on and one where he's really not quite the superstar that he was. I mean, obviously we saw that with the previous game where he was pretty good, but he wasn't at that elite level. Today he was back to the elite level. So if you're looking at that constant superstar status, he may not be able to provide you enough energy to do so each and every game. But he has to.
He has to.
There's no.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm in class always with you. I don't know why.
I
hear you. No worries, man. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Gerald, it seems like with Jimmy as a superstar, he needs that balance of pace and, like you said, energy. If they're not balanced, game seems to be imbalanced. Like I've never seen that with, say, a Kobe or an MJ or a LeBron. It just seems like their motor is just going all the time, but their body isn't slowing down either. But with Jimmy, on the other hand, I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that they often say practice makes perfect, right? It depends on whether you're practicing right or practicing wrong. Now, LeBron conditions himself a certain way. Everyone knows his workout routine.
Yeah.
With Miami, it's very intense. It's almost militaristic the way they run up and down the court and preach conditioning. It's almost it is a discipline if you want to play for them.
Well, I'll tell you what, right now, I think, and I'm going to talk to Laker Tom next on this. I know you guys are going to always brush me off on this, but I said when Kendrick Nunn was scoring a lot of points that maybe Frank should throw a different look. I thought he should put Quinn Cook into the game just for even 5 minutes, just to give it a shot. He's got quickness. He can hit a three. Mind you, he plays awful defense, but on a fast guy, a speedy guy like Kendrick Nunn, you couldn't do any worse. Just give it a shot and see what happens. But Laker Tom, I can already see you're shaking your head. And I know what changes you want to make, starting with Dwight Howard, who you now have the same vitriol for, the same as JaVale McGee. I think you would want those two guys.
I heard about the comments about Kendrick Nunn, because he was dynamite early in the game because of who was guarding him. But when they put AC in the game, AC pretty much shut him down most of the rest of the game. You know, he made his points early, and AC's able to stay in front of guys like that. So I think
Russell Westbrook would probably disagree with you on that, but okay.
Well, you know, I mean, Nunn's, he reminds me of Isaiah Thomas, those quick little left-handers that just shift around, and they're hell to guard. That's the kind of guy I hated to guard, because, you know, he's going to give you two or three or four jab steps each time he's got the ball, and you end up being off balance, you know, and then bang, he's by you. But I think that there's something about the Dwight Howard situation that's very interesting to me. And it really comes to the ability to be able to defend when they switch on you. And Dwight was getting killed by three-point shots basically, or by guys driving by him.
Well, I actually think everything was okay until LeBron went out of the game. Once LeBron went out of the game and Dwight Howard was still in there, that's when Miami went on his first run.
Well, but the whole problem that it strikes to me is that it brings up the whole issue of what are the Lakers going to do at the center position moving forward? Because if you think that Dwight Howard has trouble on the perimeter, Boogie Cousins is going to really have trouble on the perimeter.
This is true. But again, you're going to have to find ways around it.
Frank Vogel's, I wrote an article for LakerHolics.com a couple of days ago about how Frank Vogel has really embraced small ball, and the percentage that he's played 75% of the game in the finals have been small ball. And it's really made Markieff Morris very valuable, and it's basically taken minutes completely away from the traditional centers. And the problem with the traditional centers in Frank's mind is not so much that they don't spread the floor, which is what almost everybody else looks at why you play small ball. You're either trying to force somebody out of the game or force the teams to take their defender out so that you can attack the basket. But what Frank gets out of it is what he found out in the Rockets series. He gets faster rotations. He gets ability to double team, ability to challenge those shots on the outside, and speed to challenge shots at the rim. And so it's going to be interesting to see. I've always felt that Boogie was the logical next step for the Lakers. But that's because I was really looking at it offensively. And I think when we come down to it, we're going to see that Vogel's going to be looking at it defensively. And I'm not so sure even that the Lakers are going to pursue Dwight very heavily, simply because of the nature of the game. I think that you want to have somebody who can, you need somebody next to Anthony Davis who can basically play pretty similar to Anthony Davis. Now, Markieff Morris is not bad. He's not a bad defender. I mean, that play, for example, that Jimmy Butler hung in the air and got that layup on him, that was outstanding defense. And Morris has played real well defense, and he's ranked very high on the Lakers for his defensive efficiency. So I just think that it's kind of interesting that what we're seeing in the evolution of how Frank Vogel has been looking at the defense could have some impact on where we go and what kinds of players and what we prioritize next year in free agency and in trades.
One thing I want to ask you before we go ahead and head on out, and that is we'll come back full circle on this, and that is Danny Green. Apologies to Mr. Ortega on Twitter.
Let me say this much about Danny Green. To a certain extent, he's being maligned a lot right now because he missed that shot. And had he made that shot, the whole attitude would have been different. So to a certain extent, you can't criticize the guy for that. And Vogel, I like the pulse that Frank has taken on the team and the moves that he's made. I do think that the next game better start Markieff Morris and not Dwight Howard. But when you look at the plus minus, and you look at the net ratings, which are two sort of team-oriented ratings that a player gets for how he fits on the team, what the team does when he's on the floor, how the team plays when they're on the floor. Do we outscore the other team? Do we play good defense? Do we get more points than they get points, which is really the whole purpose of the game of basketball. It's who scores the most points, not who scores the least points, who scores the most points. And those are both two measures that really measure that. And Danny Green still comes up there in the top two or three on the team. So I don't buy this whole idea that he's worthless. He's a $15 million contract, and those $15 million contracts are essential trading pieces. You have to have those if you want to go after a Giannis or if you want to even go after a Paul George or something like that. And who knows? Maybe the next game, Danny Green could be the hero. Now, I said definitely I would have rather had Kenny take that shot because I think he's by far our best three-point shooter on the team, and I think he's as clutch as anybody on the team. As clutch as anybody on the team, for sure.
But Danny Green is not a clutch client.
Yeah, And I noticed you said he's valuable because he's a trade asset, not because he's a valuable piece of the core of the Lakers. I noticed that.
What are you going to do? You get $22.5 million for KCP, $3 million for Kuzma. Who are you going to? The problem with those guys is that you're not going to get anybody back that's really going to be a star quality. So you need somebody like. I mean, next up is KCP at $8 million, but we know he's a clutch client as well as a clutch shooter. So those are two reasons not to trade him. But Danny Green, if you want to make a deal for anybody out there that you want to, a Christian Wood, Miles Turner, Oladipo, any of these guys that might want to say, hey, I want to come to the Lakers and I'm going to use my leverage to make a deal with you because I'm not going to accept the MLE. I need more than that, so it's going to have to be a sign and trade. You need to have somebody with, and the only guy we got is Danny Green. He's our only trade asset, our most valuable trade asset, and he's an expiring contract.
Sounds like you're stuck with him.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I don't. I disagree with you completely there, Rafael.
I'm not taking on Danny Green's contract.
Right. He'll be traded.
I'd just rather rebuild.
He'll be traded.
Right.
You can put enough assets with him that he will not be a detriment to the deal. He's an essential element in the deal.
Did we mention that the amnesty clause may be back in play at some point in time?
Not as quick as you want it, because there's still one more year left on the MLE.
Oh, but you would want it for JaVale McGee.
One more year
left
on the CBA.
You would want it for JaVale McGee. But I digress.
But McGee's another case. What are you going to get for JaVale? $4.2 million?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Danny Green, $15
million. It's not the dollars that people trade for.
But...
it is if you're trying to get rid of a big contract, you know.
Well, let's close this thing out. Let's close this thing out.
Would you take Chris Paul on the Lakers?
No.
All right.
I would take him for sure. I think there are better options than him.
He would
have a huge impact.
Calm down, Laker Tom. I'm going to have to meet you like they should have done in the debates with the candidates. But I want to ask you this. Let's just go ahead quick, round by round, snap. Let's go through it real quick. What do the Lakers need? What do the Lakers need to do to get things done in Game 6? Laker Tom, I'll start with you first.
Better defense. They scored 111 points on us.
That's the start.
You need to keep them under 100.
What you got?
Don't allow Jimmy to switch. Don't take the four switches.
That's real quick. Okay. Go ahead, Jamie.
Be healthy. AD's got to be healthy. He's got to be healthy and aggressive, and they got to show up with energy.
Rafael?
I hope AD's ankle doesn't swell up or heal or whatever it is. And, not play Dwight. I mean, I think you got to give him the JaVale McGee treatment and tell him he's done. He's done for the series.
Magic man.
I should have said that, Rafael. Thank you.
Go ahead, Magic Man. Sorry, keep you waiting.
Yeah, no, that's all right, Gerald. I'm going to say I believe AD does come back with a vengeance. I predicted the Lakers in Game 6. I believe AD has a 40-20 game.
Well, there you go.
That would be great. We didn't even talk about if Dragic comes back.
Yeah, that's – although that
I think he'd be a liability, though.
Yeah.
They're going to hunt him out.
Yeah, I agree. But
whose foot is in worse shape?
Wait, hold on. I remember a certain team that played him really aggressively about 2 years ago, December. Cracked a couple of his ribs.
Yeah.
He finished with 41-13.
They could pull a Willis Reed on us in Game 6.
Bring out the wheelchair.
Well, that's a problem.
Put him in there, have him limp around and make four or five baskets and then go to the bench.
Oh, whose foot is going to end up being worse?
Here's another thing. One last thing, Gerald. Here's really what the problem was in this game. We played from behind the entire game.
Exactly.
And when you play from behind, it just sucks that energy out of you.
And he did
a great job at every time we brought up within 2 points or 3 points or got that 1 point lead, every single time they responded.
And
those were as big a key misses as Danny Green.
Two four-point plays. Yeah, so
14 points on three plays.
And I mean, the refs right
over the course of the game.
And Kyle still jumps up planes.
I know. He had a bad game. He had a bad game. He needs to bounce back.
The Lakers as a whole need to bounce back, but we'll see.
1 for 11 on threes from the bench. I mean, when LeBron's going, what, 6 for 9 or whatever he made from three?
Again, it comes down to an inconsistent bench. It comes down to an inconsistent bench. You're saying that they're the best thing since sliced bread. We're saying
that they're better than the Heat bench.
Yeah, well, unfortunately. Heat bench is
two people.
Yeah. And it sure got the job done today.
Two guys versus five.
Well, you know.
It's like Rambo. You're saying he's only one man, but he's killing all your guys.
Having five guys who can play on the bench, four guys on the bench versus two is a big advantage.
Well, that's the thing. If one of those guys has a better game, this is a different story, and
we had four guys who had a bad game on the bench.
Exactly.
Miami had only one guy on the bench score a basket.
Yeah.
He scored a bunch of them.
Somebody got zero on their bench. Who was that?
Iguodala played Iguodala. 19 minutes, but he didn't score.
He doesn't shoot fast. He took two shots, three, two.
Surprisingly, on that last possession, I'm surprised Duncan Robinson. Was Iguodala even in on defense?
I think he was. Yes. He was.
No.
Duncan Robinson was on the floor. So I guess none was.
I know he switched in at some point in time in that last minute, but then he must have gotten switched out.
I think they took him out during our timeout because I remember specifically Van Gundy saying that this is why I would have Iguodala in as a trigger man, but then it wasn't necessary because Marcus Morris just threw the ball to nobody.
I'm surprised they didn't play Kelly Olynyk at all. That's.
I'm not. That's why they're.
He's been shooting well, so. We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet. Be that as it may, they get the victory, 111-108. It's 3-2, still in the Lakers' favor. And we'll be back Sunday, hopefully very jubilant, hopefully less arguing. Hopefully less testiness.
Bring your party hats. Bring your whistles. Bells and whistles and your party hats. And
I'll bring my banjo.
That's a great idea.
I'm not going to do anything right now because I'm, like I said, I fell into that overconfidence pit of Laker Tom. And you know what? Unfortunately, it came out on the other side and it didn't come out.
Things like that don't happen, Gerald.
It didn't smell like roses coming out on the other side. That's all I'll say. You know what?
Oh, man.
I'm just going to go ahead and close this out by going ahead and saying thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. But before we end on out, everybody here has got something to offer at both LakerHolics.com and NBA Draft Junkies. And while Raphael continues to laugh at all of us Laker fans here, I can just see it. That's part of the fun is watching his response.
He's like,
I love his responses. He's just awesome.
I sleep well tonight. The stress for me was over after you guys eliminated my Blazers.
I just took my blood pressure and it's fine.
Okay.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
And it's bad.
You don't have a CAT scan nearby, do you?
No, but as I said, I'm going to have a shoulder replacement. So
there you go. But we wish you well on that when that happens. So
what happens when you shoot too much, guys?
Tell that to the Lakers bench.
Totally.
But I'll tell you what, it's still a lot of stuff that we're doing.
Danny Green needs a shoulder replacement. That may be a problem.
He needs the confidence of Laker fans.
Yes.
I agree. Just the confidence.
The anti-Danny Green fans have taken him down a notch in this playoffs.
I feel like he's one of those guys that suffers. I feel like he's one of those guys that suffers from no crowd.
Because all they can do is read the stuff that we write.
You know? No, I hope he doesn't have a phone. I have a stat that I want to read to you. I just saw it. Danny Green in the 2013 NBA Finals versus LeBron, 55.1% from three. Danny Green in the 2020 Finals as LeBron's teammate, 25.8% from three.
Bad choice by Frank not to have Kenny set that screen.
Or Caruso. Or anybody. Anybody.
Kenny's the guy who should have
said it. The ball guy. The ball boy.
Kenny or Morris.
JaVale McGee. There you go.
He hit a couple threes during the season.
Yes, there you go. But before we hit.
Jamie, what are the odds on Dwight starting?
I would say zero.
You think so? I hope so.
I would say zero. I will be very surprised. The only way I would see it happening is maybe if Dragic gets back, because that's going to force the Heat to start in a more traditional posture. But they have to take him out when they go small. That was a terrible blunder.
You know what? I don't see Dragic coming back because
I don't think so.
I don't either. If he does,
I remember when Powell suffered the same injury. I was watching that game when they played Brooklyn, and he was out 4 weeks. Really is.
All of those plantar type injuries are hell on you.
Let's head on out, guys. Magic Man, I know you're working on some stuff. Hopefully not some championship victory stuff right now. Please, let's put off that to the side. Let's put that on the shelf until they actually win the championship series. But I know you're working on some other things. Don't get sucked in by Laker Tom stuff like that. Come on, let's go ahead and talk
about it. Bring your party hat, babe. Bring your party hat.
Here we go again. Magic Man, what you got cooking at LakerHolics.com?
Yeah, you know what, Gerald? This whole finals series from the bench perspective has been, you know, one game they can show up, and then next game it's like we're in Mudville. KC struck out again.
We're in Mudville. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, like we've got a Mudville bench right now, and the bench really needs to bring it home for game six and help out here. What, like we said, 1 from 11 from deep is unacceptable. Look, if it's not going in the first couple times, try run some more action. Try and get something easier at the basket. That's what we're good at. We drive, we get into the lane, we attack the rim. That's what we need to get back to, our bread and butter.
Yeah, you never take the last shot more than 2 feet from the rim. That's always been my rule.
Jamie, what you got cooking at with your five great things at LakerHolics.com? And please don't say one of them is something that's already coronating the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, no, you know me. I've got a house full, 100% full of practicality.
Thank you.
I'm neither optimistic nor despondent. I just think that he played better. Like, there's no need to be all crying in the milk and kicking the side of the door. You know, it's fine. The Heat had a tough, great game. I mean, they've shown that when Jimmy Butler has a Nova superstar night, they're a hard team to beat. And so I feel good about our chances. I mean, again, I said all along, if the Laker bench plays even, we're going to have a shot. We had a shot. We lost by three. Could have won it if, you know, we had a better play with the
game.
Yeah, no, you know, it was a tight game all the way down. So I feel good about Sunday. It's a little annoying that we lost the game after 2 days of rest, but I think overall that favors the Lakers going on because we've played fewer games and we have a larger rotation. We play a lot more guys in our rotation than the guys who do play are going to be a little less tired. That's my hope anyway.
We lost probably because China was watching.
Come on. they're going to be watching all the way out. So.
Well, and maybe it'll help the ratings.
Yep, that's exactly why it happened.
No crying in the milk, huh, Jamie? Is that right?
No crying in the milk.
But I like chocolate milk. I really like it. I have a gallon right there in my fridge. I like
it. So does Clay Thompson. He swears by it.
There you go. But he's paid a lot more to do so. But Laker Tom, before we end it out, it is LakerHolics.com. And, of course, you'll see everything that Magic Man's got. You'll see everything that Jamie Sweet's got. And I know you've got
everything that everybody here on the screen has got.
Yeah, that's true. 15,000 articles are in the making from you at LakerHolics.com and also your Medium.com site. So I want to hear what you've got planned for the next couple days, because I see when it's posted. And shame on you. You got to update those things on the splashboard a lot sooner. Like, you know, what can we do to stop the Heat and win in Game 6? Now, that's a good title there for
you. I don't usually do those kind of previews because they don't, you know, I mean, It's kind of interesting. I spend most of my time working on the celebratory things. So I'll have to go back to the drawing board for what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Who would have thought?
I've got like three articles that are lined up to go after that, you know, so we'll see. Jamie will keep us all practically, you know, framed and so forth and foundation.
All right, fair enough. I know he'll come up with something. You can check it out at LakerHollis.com.
I will write something because I got 2 days now. I've written an article for the last 7 days in a row.
Trust me, I know you will. But before we head on out, we got to talk some great things going on at NBA Draft Junkies. My friend, my comrade, my colleague, my just excellent, excellent fellow host for our NBA playoffs coverage, and my friend, Mr. Rafael Barlow, I want to go ahead and turn it over to you. What have you got planned for everybody out there? I know you just dropped a video within the past 24 hours. What do you have planned for in the past 24 hours? So what you got cooking right now at NBA Draft Junkies?
Well, by the time this podcast airs, I'll have a mock draft video with Gerald Glassford from the Lakers Fast Break. He came on and he gave his mock draft, the lottery version. And then I have another video on a player named Henry Drell. He's from Estonia. And I think that he is a possible second round draft pick. But for the next week or so, I'll just focus on some international players that I think could be draft and stash guys or second round picks. And then I'll finish out for the next month on the rest of the American prospects in the 2020 NBA draft.
Plus, you have a big board talk with Deion Sherman, as I see as well.
Yes, I put that out, I think yesterday. Yeah, I think yesterday I put out two videos.
Well, there you go. I mean, he always has a great time as far as his interviews with prospective people out there that have their thoughts on what big boards or whatever mock drafts that they have. I was truly honored to be a part of that, and I'm hoping it will go ahead and be a big part of what's coming up at NBA Draft Junkies. But for myself, before we head on out, I want to let you know that I dropped another PCC Multiverse on the Pop Culture Cosmos channel, wherever you get your podcasts, and also 35 stations worldwide on radio. We talked a lot about, again, more movies being changed all over the place. But could possibly the movie Free Guy end up being the biggest hit of 2020? We talk about that coming up. Also, I have an interview with the Las Vegas Review Journal's own Lucas Egan as we talk esports and video games. So I really was looking forward to that interview, and you'll hear it on this weekend's PCC Multiverse, now available wherever you get your podcasts. Well, guys, game six. We're going to see each other's faces again. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but let's hope on Sunday night it's a good thing. Laker Tom, I will put a party hat on. It's going to be a Lakers hat because I got a lot of those. And hopefully I will be going ahead and doing that and being in such celebratory fashion. And I hope you guys will be too. And I hope everyone out there that's watching and listening to us out there will do the same, as we're looking forward to hopefully a game six win for the Lakers coming up this Sunday. And we'll follow that game right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.